I know, I'm sure, yeah.
So basically, okay, so we're up to this thing about that the father, let's jump to the case of that the father, if the father, you have this story. All right, let's just get to the story. So you have the story of Rabba Rav Huna. So, fine. The Rabba Rav Huna, this Rav Huna was his father. And Rav Huna, in order to test the kid to see if he would get angry, and I guess, I think I saw someone say, if he would get angry, he would rebuke him, and he'd put him back on his place, right? Give him mussar. So he did, in order to, the only way he can know if the kid has that midah, in order to, you know, put him in his place, is to test him. So what he used to do, was he'd rip his fancy clothing in front of the kid. And the Gemara says that clearly it was the father's clothing, he can't rip the kid's clothing, so it was the father's clothing he was ripping. His own clothing. So why would the kid get upset? Well, what's the kid have to lose if he rips his own clothing? But that's what it says. It's trying to bring in the context of the Gemara that, no, because the kid was going to be Yoresh those clothing. He was the companion of the father dies, it was going to be the kid's. So therefore, the kid would get upset. So therefore, that's how it came in the context of our Gemara. But basically, the father ripped the clothing in front of the kid to test him. Okay, to test him. Yeah, okay. So that's what he did. So the Gemara asks, it says, hold on a second. Let's say the kid would fail the test. So then he'd be over, the kid would be over, keep it over him, because he'd get angry, and all the angry father's also. So violation, keep it over him. So isn't that lifnei iver? You can't put a guy in a situation, you know, I'm going to put pork on the plate and see if he's going to be over. He's about to eat pork, he can't do that. I mean, that is exactly what it's like, you know. He's basically just testing him out, and if he's going to eat pork, then we'll give him a good whack. You can't do that, it's also. It's lifnei iver, it's an isser called lifnei iver. So even though you're well intentioned, you're hoping to rebuke him and put him set him straight if he actually violates, but hold on, you can't do that. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says it's talking about that he was mochal. So he says that you're mochal on this kavod, that the father was mochal on his kavod. So the halacha is if a father's mochal on his kavod, then he can be mochal. He could just be mochel in any aspect of his kavod, and therefore, if he says that the kid basically, I don't care if the kid yells at me, then it's not a violation to keep it out of him. Okay, which we could get to, hopefully we'll get to that sugya, it's a different sugya. But basically, because the whole thing of kavod is, on basic level, because the kavod is to respect the father. So the father says, look, yell at me now. Let's take an extreme case. Yell at me, I want you to yell at me, pretend you're angry at me. You know, so the father's saying, yeah, it's not kavod to yell at him, it's not kavod because you're hurting the father, because, you know, the father says, I don't care, it doesn't bother me, or even it does bother me, but don't worry about it. I understand that you want to do it. Father could do that. He has a right to do that. So it's saying is, the case is that before Rav Huna did this, he was mochel. So therefore, now you have no problems. So he does this test on him. He does this test. And now that he does his test, the kid's not gonna be over. If he ends up jumping on him, so then he's not over anyways. So it's a good test, okay? So fine. So let's stop there. The more it goes on in terms of Baal Tashchis, whatever. But let's stop there, right? So Tosus is bothered by. Hold on a second. Did the father? You have to basically answer this question. Did the father tell the kid? Did the kid know that the father was mochel? Or did the kid not know that the father was mochel? Okay? And either way you're going to go, you're going to have a little bit of a problem. Because if you say that the kid did not know... Yes?
Why does that?
Okay. So if you're going to say that the kid did not know, that he didn't tell the kid, so then what's going to happen is that the kid basically thinks that his father's machmir about these things. You're like your average father doesn't want kids yelling at him. And then the father is basically giving him this test. And the kid is going to, let's say, violate kibbutz. In his mind, he thinks when he gets really angry, he's basically going to be in a situation where he thinks that, well, it's kibbutz of him, but he's so upset he can't control himself. And he's going to violate what he thinks is an avera. Now, turns out it's not really an avera. Right? Turns out it's not really an avera. But is that a good thing to do? What is the status? And that's what Tosfos brings up. What is the status of a guy who does something that he thinks is an avera, but it's not an avera? Let's say a guy thinks he sees a hamburger in McDonald's, and he picks it up and eats it. And turns out, you know what, it was really a King David hamburger. Someone put it down there, whatever. But for all his practical purposes, the guy had no idea. So now, is that guy a tzaddik? Or did he do anything wrong? Or is it perfectly fine? So Tosus cites a Gemara in Yuma, which says that, and we'll get to it, says that you need mechila and kapara for that kind of a thing. Okay, it's wrong. You need kapara means, well, I need kapara. If you don't do anything wrong, you don't need kapara. So kapara means there's some sort of a violation there. Question is, we're gonna have to explain what he did wrong. Sure, he planned to do something wrong, but he didn't. But that's what the Gemara says. Okay, and we'll get that. But so since the Gemara says that is, so apparently there's an Isser. So therefore, Tosus claims that should still be looking either. Right? Because now you're getting the kid to violate that. It's true he's not violating Kibra Avayim, but he thinks he's violating Kibra Avayim, and that itself is something wrong. So how could you get your kid and put him in a situation where he's going to violate that thing? Right? You're still causing him to stumble. Although not the technical Kibra Avayim, said something wrong with that. So therefore, Tosus, because of that problem, Tosus says it must be that the father told him in advance. Okay, must be the father told him in advance that, listen, I am mochel. I guess he's going to have to say, look, I'm mochel. You get angry at me, don't worry about it. I'm mochel. So the kid knew that the father is mochel. Right, and therefore, he knew that there's no sort of kibra avayim. What's the problem with that? Yeah, so then what's the test? I mean, what's he doing? He's ripping the thing in front of the kid, and the kid basically, well, there's nothing wrong with the kid. The kid can get angry. Why can't he get angry? Is there any problem with getting angry? The father's mochel. So what's he testing him on now? Right? So what do you have to say? What's he testing him on?
Yeah.
So you have to say, I think one of the achron on the back says, I think he says that he's testing him on his midah of kas. He's testing him. It's true that there's no violation of kibbut avayim, but it's not a good midah to get angry. It's not a good midah. Even if someone rips your shirt or whatever, it's not a good midah. So he's testing him to see if he had a bad midah. And he would evoke in the kid the bad midah. And that would be bad. It's bad to act out a bad midah. So he'd evoke the bad midah. And then he'd see whether the kid is going to have that bad midah or not. And if he would, then he'd rebuke him and say, that's a bad midah. But there's still a little bit of a problem. Problem is, but why isn't that lefneiver? I mean, like, now you're telling me there's something wrong with getting angry, right? There's no way you're saying he's testing him to see if he has that bad midah. So apparently that's a bad midah, and getting angry is bad, right? Saying it's bad. It's bad to get angry. So why isn't that a problem? Like, is it good when a guy gets angry, or is that harmful to a guy when he gets angry? Presumably it is. It's a bad midah. That means it's bad to do those kinds of things. It's not necessary. No, it's not necessary.
How would that be
lefneiver? Well, that's a question. That's a question. That's a question. That's a good question. Is lefneiver, that's a question. Is Livnei Iver just a technical Isser? Like, let's say I the real pshat in the pasuk of Livnei Iver means, this is an interesting thing, actually. Livnei Iver Sidhu Mashal means, before a blind person, you shouldn't put a stumbling block. Now, I don't think it means, literally, like, before a blind, I mean, maybe it also means that, but simple pshat means, like, advice, if you're giving, I think it's like an Isser, I think I'm wrong, it's an Isser by giving a bad advice. It means, like, if a guy is stumbling, on a midah even, if you know that a guy, if you give him a hamburger, you know he's going to eat it. You know what I mean? You know he's on a diet, and you know that it's bad for his health, and it's a bad midah. He has a taiva, he can't control himself. And you know you're going to give him this hamburger, he's not going to be able to control himself. So that's lefneiver. I mean, that's pshat in the bar. I mean, that's a mishal. Now, is there an isra? There's no isra, but that's the concept of lefneiver. I mean, there's a concept of lefneiver. So the concept has applicability with regard to Torah, with regard to Isser, it really becomes a Tzuras Isser. Like, I don't know if you're technically over the Lav or whatever, the Isser of Lefneiver, but the concept of Lefneiver would seem to apply. You can't just put stone blocks on the guy. But here, isn't that what he's doing? Isn't he just basically trying to entice his anger? You know what I mean? It's not like a major problem, but like a bad midah isn't just bad because you have the midah. It seems to be any time you act out that midah, you're believing the midah, and you're acting in line with that midah, and that's further putting you into the world of the midah. It's harmful. It seems to be harmful. I mean, each time you do it, you're furthering your you're becoming blind to reality, and you're living in that world. You're putting them into that world. Yeah. So I think Gary's saying it's an answer. It's not a question on my question. It's an answer.
Right.
It's an answer. Answer isn't good. Is that you're right? If you just stop and try to evoke a guy's bad midah, then that's harming a guy. You're harming a guy. But if you're doing it in order to see whether he has it, and if he does have it, to point out the flaw and to show him and to help him gain from the thing, then it's better for him. It's true that one time he got angry, but that was used in order to draw out his midah and to show it to him and to help him overcome it. So that is, so when you're dealing with like the philosophical arena, then the question is, you can't harm a guy, but this isn't harming a guy, this is benefiting a guy. It's a method of teaching a guy something. But you can't say that when it comes, so why can't you say that by Kibbutz Avayim? They'll say, look, the father wanted to see whether he'd be violating Kibbutz Avayim. And if he would, then he'd rebuke him. So he's really helping the guy. So why don't you say that? Because there's an Isser. And Lifnei Avayim is a real Isser. And Kibbutz Avayim is an Isser. And you can't, see, when you're dealing with Midos, all it is a matter of Midos. What's better for him? But a lot, he came by the Nisr, there's Nisr for the kid of Kibbutz Avayim, and there's Nisr for the father to do Lifnei. Lifnei Avayim, besides for just being bad advice, Lifnei Avayim is a halachic principle. And the halachic principle says you can't cause the guy to be to violate Nisr. It's good, I'm saying it's better for him. There's no such thing as better for him. You can't cause the guy to violate Nisr. Anyways, Nisr, you can never say Nisr is better for him. There's no right to do an Nisr. There's no halacha that you can do an Nisr if you think it's better for you. Nisr is an Nisr, is absolute. A Midah, you could say, there's no Isser, the whole thing there is perfection. But the idea of a system demands that an Isser is an absolute. So since it's an absolute, you can't legitimize it like that. So that's why they had to set up the case that he was Mochal. Fine. And he told him he was Mochal, because otherwise it's going to be an Isser. And once it's an Isser, then you can't do it. Can't get around the technical Isser, but around the Midah, you can get around. Good. So that's what I was trying to say, right? That's what I was trying to say. The question we have to get into is what is this Isser? Okay, I think we should look into that. What is this thing about that you need mechilat kapara for? It's a funny thing. You didn't violate anything. What do you need mechilat kapara for? Kapara for violating what? Which mitzvah and tayag did I violate? I thought I was violating kibbutz avayim, but I wasn't. So what do I need kapara for? Kapara seems to be is for doing. So this is, it's not just for midos. I mean that I can see saying it's a bad midah. But if it's a bad midah, then you're back to the old problem. If you tell me it's just a bad midah that if I think I'm eating a hamburger, but then you're allowed to cause a guy to violate a bad midah in order to overcome it, right? That's so. If you're saying that it's just like it's a bad midah, then it would seem it's not gonna work out. Then why is Tosa saying that he had to tell him? Just say, what's the problem? Why does he have to tell him? Because he's saying it's a bad meter to try to violate an Isser? Yeah, but it's for a good purpose. But it seems like Tosis is learning that it's not just a bad meter, that you're really violating something. It's really a problem. It's also because it's really an Isser. So what's the Isser? Where's the Isser? So let's look at that Gemara. I mean, you'll see. Ritva is a different way of learning, which he doesn't say he told him. He says he didn't tell him. You're causing him to need Michil and Kapara? He says that's okay here. It's a funny explanation, but let's leave it. I'm just telling you, there's another way to go on that. But let's pursue Tosis a little bit. So the Gemara is based on Yuma, it's in Kedushin Pei Aleph and Beis. So it picks up like the Tanya, Isha Aferam, right? That's where you say? Okay, Isha Aferam, it's like near the Bamibar Lamed. So it says, Isha Aferam V'Hashem Yitzchakha. So a woman basically violates him, it's talking about a neder. She violates her neder. And Hashem will forgive her. So and Hashem will forgive her. So it says, "Ma'amekas v'medaber." What's it talking about? She says, "What's the woman violating? And what's Hashem forgiving her for?" So it says, "Be'isha shenadra benazir." So it's a woman who made a neder of a nazir to become a nazir. V'shama baila beheferla. And the husband heard, and the husband cut out the neder. Right? The husband has the ability to nullify his wife's nedar. And the husband never told her. She never found out about it. And she was violating what she thought was Naziris. She didn't know that her husband cut it out. It turns out, really, there was no Naziris because her husband knocked it out. But she didn't know it. So she thought she was violating Yisurim. So that's what it's saying is Hashem Yislachla. Hashem will give her Slicha. But you see, it's saying is that you need Slicha. Apparently, you did something wrong. And it says, Rabbi Kiva, Kevi Matilai Pesuka Havei Bachi. Rabbi Kiva saw this pasuk, he cried. Amar, he said, Uma Mishnes Kavi Nachal Basar Chazir Al Basar Biyad Basar Tla. If you see that someone who intended to eat Chazir and it ended up eating kosher, Amra Torah Tzricha Kapara Uslicha. You see, still the Torah says that they need Kapara and Slicha, even though they didn't do anything wrong technically, but they just tried to do something wrong. Certainly, someone who actually intends to eat Chazer and ends up eating Chazer, that person will certainly need Kapara. So the person will certainly need Kapara. Okay? So that's that, right? Let's read a little further. It's interesting. Kielzu v'dorat omer v'lo yado v'ashem v'nasa avona. If you don't know, and then you do a sin, then you'll carry your sin. So what's the automatic sin? Kishahayu Rabbi Kiva megil pazik zayi bacha. And Rabbi Kiva, similarly, he'd cry. Uma mishin skavin achal shuman v'ala basil chaylev. So it means a guy intended to eat shuman, which is kosher meat, and he ends up eating chaylev. Amra Torah v'lo yado v'ashem v'nasa avona. So you see that he gets a chayt. He intended, he didn't intend to eat. It's the opposite case. He thought he was eating kosher. And it turns out it was treif. So it says, he needs to, he is an asavono, it's a chait. Mishin eskavin lechol chelav, alo bi'ad lechelav, askama gama. Certainly, a person who intends to eat treif and ends up being treif. Okay. So it's funny, it's both ways. Both ways you have it. Apparently, if you don't intend to violate and you do violate, you need to, apparently there's something wrong, it's a chait. And if you intend to, and you don't end up violating, also you need there's something wrong. You need a kapara. Seems like in both of them there's something wrong. Both of them there's an issa, a violation. And that's where Bikibu cried. You see, the Torah is makbid and considers that a chait. And certainly a guy who actually willfully is a chote and actually is a chote. Isha ha'fera means her husband was made for the nether. Hashem Yisrach. That's what it says. The pasuk before is a woman, her husband was mefer, removed the neder, but and Hashem Yisrach. So it's a contradiction. If the husband knocked out the neder, what does she need slicha for? So it says it must be that's the case. So even though the husband knocked it out, but she didn't know about it, therefore she needs slicha. Rashi explains, even though she was really hat there, but since she intended for Yisr, so she needs slicha. The question is, when she intended, but she didn't do anything. What do you need slicha for? Both sides is a question. Well, if she intended to and she didn't violate, so what did he slicha for? She didn't do anything wrong. She thought she was, but she didn't. So, I mean, is that, what are you punishing her for? What does she need to slicha for? And I'd say it's a bad midah, but it seems like it's really like a, you need to, kapara in general is for an isser. It's not just for a bad midah. It seems to be a bad, you know, it's actually an isser. And she tells us learning it's an isser. But also, what's the other side? If you intend, you think you're eating kosher, and it turns out it's treif, and it's a chayt. Well, you know, what do you do? You didn't know that. You know, it's like, it's kind of saying, it's like, either if you do something wrong, or if you intend to do something wrong, both of those are okay. But let's deal first with the hours. Let's first deal with the hours, right? So what's the thing? And Tosus is learning it's a real thing. Because he is with neighbor. No doubt, I understand the guy's not a perfected person. I mean, he's trying to do an Isser. I mean, but the question is, kapara, it seems to be in a kapara for an Isser. If you can't do, you're just saying the guy's not a good guy. Not being a good guy doesn't make you need kapara. Just you're not going to get olamava. I mean, chayin olamava is not going to be great. But it doesn't mean kapara. Kapara seems to be for chayin. It has to be an iser. So that's the problem. Yeah. It's just why you can't say it just means that he's not perfected. Right? Because you can say is it just means that he's an imperfected guy because he really tried about an iser. But I'm saying, first of all, I think the lashon of kapara. Kapara and slichar for a chayin. It's true, bad midas are bad midas, but kapara is for a sin. Sin has to be that you actually violated something. You can't be you try to do violate something. But I'll prove, I think, a proof could be, is like it says, Rabbi Akiva heard this, he cried. When he heard that, the Torah says you need kapara for the guy who tried, you know, who tried to violate that. So. But if you just tell me it's a perfection, you don't need Rabbi Akiva, you don't need a pasuk to teach Rabbi Akiva that a guy is at a low level. For in terms of perfection, for trying to do an Isser, I mean, everyone knows that. Of course, the kind of guy is that. He's a low level guy. But Rabbi Kiva's crying is like, it seems to me that there's really an Isser, there's a violation here. That's, you know, I mean, the Torah considers that to demand kapara. So, but if you're just saying it's just like a perfection thing, of course that's been not perfection. I mean, you know, it's not, you don't need to exert the cost of it, but you don't positive teach you that. You know what I mean? You know, I'm thinking like this, is that, that in Torah there's an idea, it's not just doing the mitzvahs, but there's an idea of being a shomer, shmiras ha-mitzvahs. Okay, there's an idea of shmiras ha-mitzvahs. Like you see, for instance, if a guy is a shogeg in the kapara, why is shogeg, he didn't intend, you know? But maybe it's the same idea, actually. It's like, how do you expect the guy to be, why is the guy responsible for shogeg? He didn't mean to do it. But it seems the idea is that there's an idea of shmartem as a mitzvah. You should guard the mitzvahs. So if a guy is a shogeg, for instance, he wasn't guarding it. You don't accidentally do things when you're not guarding it, right? Like you don't lose your diamonds, you know. You lose things you're not guarding, and that's why if you lose something or something, you say you're upset at the guy. Well, you should be more careful. So you see, it's like if you lose something or if you violate something by accident, it's because you weren't careful. Care and concern, and that's the halacha by mitzvahs. Isn't a shmiras of mitzvahs? You should guard the mitzvahs.
So that's why it could be that's why it's saying is the guy if you violate if you think it's kosher and turns out it's treif, it means there's a, in general it means there's a lack in shmira, and that's a chayv. That's also a chayv. That's why Rikki was crying, is that you see the Torah is a b'chayv of you and holds you responsible even for that. Even if you didn't intend to do it, you just weren't careful enough that the Torah either holds you need it takes you to task for that. So certainly a guy who intends to, you know what I mean? But on a similar plane, I'd say is in our case, is that if you intend to violate Nezer, you're violating your Shemiras Mitzvahs. I technically did you eat treif? No, you didn't, because you thought it turns out it was kosher. But that's an action which contradicts the idea of the Gavro is a Shomer Mitzvahs. Because that's an action of eating something which you thought is treif. So that's a violation of your Shemiras Mitzvahs. Because in Shemiras Mitzvahs, it doesn't go by in reality, was it treif or was it not treif? But it goes by the Gavro. Goes by what he thought, because that's the idea. Shomer means is that you have a certain concern about the mitzvahs, and you're being careful not to violate them. And you thought this thing was treif, and you were not careful to violate. You did an action of, you know. So of course, if a guy violates an Isser itself, of course he's violating Shemirat mitzvahs. But he's actually violating mitzvahs themselves. But a guy who intends to, and turns out he doesn't, he's not violating mitzvahs themselves, but he's violating his idea of a shomer mitzvahs. So he's saying that is what Rabbi Akiva was crying about also, is that this Torah considers that a chet. Shmiras that, even though you didn't actually violate the thing, but the idea that's halachically considered a violation, and if you neglect your role as a shomer of the mitzvahs. It shows, so he cried, is because it shows that the standards of Schar V'Onesh are high. You know what I mean? And you can't just say, you know, like, in theory, the standards could have been lower. I mean, it's a painful reality, I guess, the fact that a guy could, that the Torah is, like, so to speak, that picky or that medakdek in your violations. I mean, even just a lack in shmira is you're taking the task for it. You know what I mean? Like, Hashem yeslacha. I mean, I guess it's saying is Hashem gives you slicha, but you have to realize you need slicha. It is a violation. I guess you have to apologize. I could be saying it's a violation, but you have to recognize that you're not scot-free. It's true Hashem gives you slicha, but it's not like you didn't do anything. Apparently that's what Torah says. It's very interesting. It's like Torah doesn't say that God's punishing you for it. He's not saying he's punishing you. He's saying he's forgiving you. But apparently you have to know that you did something wrong and you need forgiveness. I mean, that itself is what allows you to move on from it, you know, to not get the punishment. If you wouldn't have an awareness of the fact that Hashem yislach, then you really would, because you really violate your nisa. But it's a kind of an issue that all you have to do is recognize that there is an issue, you know? So it sounds like that. Okay? So I think that's a halachika, I think, though. The halachic thing is it violates Shmira. So yeah, I'd say it's not a violation of Kibbutz Avodah. It's a violation of Shmira's mitzvah. So it's a general idea, an overarching idea in mitzvah. So there's a gavra who is mechuyev to be a shomer on mitzvah, to be guarding the mitzvah. And by doing this, he's violating that identity, that role. It's not one of the Tayyarek mitzvahs, but it's a part of your relationship to the whole system, and so that's a violation in that framework. So that's a technical violation. It's not just philosophical. See, if you say it's philosophically bad, there's a difference. See, that's what it is. I think it's a clear difference. It's like saying it's philosophically bad is philosophically bad, but it's not nisa and the only kapara. It's just bad. But sometimes philosophically bad, you have to do the job here is to convert philosophically bad into find the isser. You know what I mean? To find the isser. You know, you're not going to find it if you just look through Tayyarek Mitzvahs. You're not going to find it. But there is a concept like that. There are psukim like that. Shmartem is a mitzvah, you know? So Shmartem Mitzvahs is a halachic institution. So now back to Sahara. So that's just a fit into Tosa. So Tosa's saying is that it couldn't be that Rav Huna was basically letting his kid, this is really an Esser, it lacks in Shmir some mitzvahs. So it couldn't be that he didn't, if Rav Huna didn't tell his kid that he was Mochel, so then he'd be throwing onto his, if the kid would get angry, the kid would be violating Shmir some mitzvahs. So he'd be violating that. So that's Livneiver. That's Livneiver. To cause a guy to stumble on Shmir some mitzvahs is Livneiver. So therefore, how could he do it? So that's why he says it must be that he told him. And since he told him it's not a violation of Shemir HaMitzvos, the only thing would be a violation of his kas, it's just a midah. So a midah, then you could say it's all his perfection. And perfection, you're doing it to help the guy, so that's not a violation because you're helping him out. That's not Lufnei Iver. The philosophical Lufnei Iver just goes by, are you helping him or are you hurting him? Halachic Lufnei Iver is it's halachas halacha. And that's it, it's fixed. Okay. So what we're going to do next, I guess, is the Ritva. the Rebbe learns that he didn't tell him. And then you have to defend that you didn't tell him, so why isn't he Eltrin either? I mean, the Gemara is clear that there's an Isser of Shemiras of Mitzvahs. So the Rebbe wants to say something like the Isser of Lefnever is like a general. Did you see it? I didn't see it. It's like a general Isser, whatever. He tries to pull up a fast one and say, like, why is it Lefnever you could do this? It makes him up. You have to do it. And then, after that, the Gemara basically has this thing afterwards. It says, how could Rav Huna rip the clothing? Isn't it Baal Tashchis? Right? It says, well, isn't it Baal Tashchis? So the Gemara says, no. Because he ripped it on the seam, so he wasn't really destroying it, right? But my question is like, why is that Baal Tashchis? Because, like, someone asked that. I think someone asked that yesterday. But it was, he's really doing it for a very good reason. Baal Tashchis, to me, what you think means that you're really destroying the thing. And you're angry, you just rip it up, you know what I mean? But if you're ripping it for a good reason, so is that really Baal Tashchis? And it seems like the Rambam has a case, like you're allowed to their people, and then Deos, yes, you shouldn't get angry. But he says you get angry, just get ripped. Chazal used to, like, break garments in order to break, like, dishes in order to scare the people in his house. You know what I mean? For the purpose of instilling fear on them, because to help run his household. So you see, like, apparently, why isn't about Tashmas? It would seem because there's a good reason to do it. There's a good reason to do it. So what I like to look into is the Isser of Baal Tashmas. Well, that's the question. What's the Isser? I mean, it's a real Isser. The Isser in the Torah is the case is if you're in the you're fighting the enemy. So what they do is like they just destroy all their trees and stuff. So you know how to do that. So I guess it was like this totally decimate the enemy. You know, wipe, destroy their trees.
Yeah,
and, you know,
the fruit trees.
Yeah, the fruit trees. Exactly, just fruit trees. Right, fruit trees. So that's the Isser. So look at that. I mean, there's the Isser there, and then the Rambam elaborates that even though that's the Isser, but it extends to any, you know, any things which are destructive. So I want to look into that a little bit. He says the Rambam's in Malachim Vav Yod. Okay, Malachim Vav Yod. And then also, I want to get into Shabbos a little bit.
That's once you destroy the enemy, though, right?
There's also a question about Shabbos, because there's a destruction comes up in Shabbos also, because if you do a malacha in a destructive way, it's not malacha. But the question is, it comes up, like, let's say you're doing it in a productive kind of way. We're going to digress a little bit here. Okay, I'm just going to read the Ritva, just to get the fact here. But he says, Kashli, demikal makam, lo yad debrei, demachalei liyakre. He says, it's a kasha, because the kid didn't know that he was mochel. Vavi kamisha ala basa biyada basa kevesh and skavin ala basa chazish sar kaparik di so biyavamos. Then it was, and it should be a problem because now he's violating what we call shmiras mitzvah. So why is that a problem? The efshar debel. This is what he says. The belav the lifneiver lo sitein mechshol. It's possible that the lav of lifneiver kivon shehu lav kolel, since it's a general lav, an inclusive general lav. Lo machmirin and kulehai. You're not that machmir. You're not that machmir. You're not that stringent. Visharinan bahachi, and you matir this, kedele nasoso, in order to test him. Ulahadricho bederach yishara irasach, and to lead him in a straight path if he gets angry. Since Lifneiver is a general lav, therefore you can do this. But the question is then, why do you have to be machlam in the first place? If you want to tell me that you're allowed to do it to teach him, so then why do you have to be mochel? Well, the Gemara says, he's going to be over Lefnever, right? Because says, no, he's mochel. Well, what do you mean mochel? If you tell me that it's a general love and you don't care about this because you're teaching him, then, right? Like, he's drawing a funny line. And the question, what does he mean? Love, the kolal? What's he talking about? It's not clear what he means.